Remember during that televised meeting with lawmakers last week, President Trump suggested they go back to earmarks, pork barrel spending, to get to a deal. Everybody laughed. Earmarks, a symbol of corruption, were banned in 2011. But the president might have known Republicans are holding hearings this week about possibly bringing them back. NPR's Ron Elving is here. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Robin.
So start with the fact that President Trump, who promised to drain the swamp, and of course his party along with him, are leading a push for earmarks. Earmarks were considered the swamp. So is that politically dangerous?
You know, you surely would think they would be totally toxic at this point, considering all the fuss that was made about them back in the heyday when they were banned. If you go back a decade, there were people going to jail because of bribery schemes based largely in the earmarking process. It had become a kind of cottage industry. John McCain based his 2008 campaign for president largely on a pledge to outlaw earmarks. This is a different time in Washington, and for at least a lot of the Republicans, a green light from the White House means it's safe to proceed.
Well, as we said, people went to jail. A California lawmaker used earmark money to pay off people who were giving him gifts. I mean, tell us how bad it got, but then also what were normal earmarks?
California lawmaker Duke Cunningham from Southern California, Republican, was a chairman of a subcommittee on the Appropriations Committee. And so he was in charge of a lot of money getting distributed in the defense industry. And he, at one particular point in his career, was sitting down to meals with defense contractors and handing over a napkin on which he had written a list of prices for certain earmarks that he could get into bills. And if he were to do that for them, they were to do such and such for him in terms of cash, in terms of gifts. That's bribery. That's plain old corruption. The typical kind of earmarking was something more like a subcommittee chairman setting up an operation in which lobbyists could come in and talk to his staff and say, this is what so-and-so wants, and this is what so-and-so wants, and if we put this together with that, we can get more people to vote for the bill. Now, that did not involve bribes, but it did involve committing federal spending in certain directions in order to get people to vote for a bill they otherwise might not have voted for, and you can come up with your own name for that.
Well, and Oklahoma Republican Tom Cole told Politico that changes have been made in the House that would prevent the kind of misuse of spending you were talking about. Cole says there's roadblocks to that now.
Yes, and Tom Cole is an appropriator. He's a Rules Committee member. He surely knows the system well. He knows things that could be done to improve it. He says it needs to be more transparent. Every single one of these needs to have a name on it. You can't slip them in, you know, anonymously, as members used to do. And he also says that they could be carefully examined to make sure that there was no waste, fraud, or abuse, and that all of this could be done through a process. But that means you couldn't be just handing these out at the last minute, which is the main way they were used as lubricant to get these spending bills passed if they didn't have enough votes. So the real question is, if you totally sanitize earmarks, are they really the aid to passage that they were in the past?
Yeah. And why else are those who want to bring earmarks back saying they want that? What other reasoning is given?
As the president was saying, the system lends itself to not working. The system is difficult. And if you can't get everybody on board for a bill that has a lot of controversial spending in it, you can warm them up to it by giving them a little piece of the controversial spending, giving them some that's not controversial in their district because it satisfies some specific need.
So they're saying that it will end the gridlock that we're seeing. But is it also about taking back spending power? In other words, power that's now, you know, outside of Congress with agencies and such?
Yes. And Tom Cole, who is a strong institutionalist and a strong conservative, both from Oklahoma, a Republican, will tell you that this represents a major sacrifice, a ceding of power, a giving up of the responsibility of Congress to have the power of the purse and giving it to the executive. And of course, that doesn't mean just the White House. It means the entire bureaucracy to decide where federal spending goes. In theory, that executive branch and that bureaucracy decides where it's needed most, where it can be used most efficiently, where the bridges should go, where they're most needed, and not the sort of bridge that got famous as the bridge to nowhere up in Alaska, connecting a small town to an almost totally unpopulated island. The price tag was $320 million had it been built, but it was mostly a favorite of former Senator Ted Stevens, who was the Republican from Alaska at the time and the chairman of the Appropriations Committee in the Senate.
Yeah. So that became a symbol, the bridge to nowhere. And even now, even though the Republican majority House is going to be having these hearings, not all Republicans are in line with this idea of bringing back earmarks.
No, already the head of the House Freedom Caucus has expressed a lot of reservations about it. And the fate of this idea of going back to earmarking depends entirely on whether or not it becomes a populist issue in the months ahead. If there's a lot of grassroots resistance, it's going to be way too hot to handle in an election year, and we are most certainly entering an election year.
NPR's Ron Elving. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.